She's easy to approach, I'll say that. I had one of my young ladies, who's knowledgeable on the theatrical line, to do a hook-up. Stopped by her table in a restaurant and exclaimed, the way they do, "Darling, I haven't seen you since Way Down Under. You were wonderful in that. Have you seen Hubert lately?" That was the producer, and Mrs. Shane was a bit of a flop in the play. But that makes it go all the better. They're chatting theatrical stuff at once, and my girl throws the right names about, and then she says, "I believe I caught a glimpse of you at so-and-so on so-and-so," giving the day, and most ladies fall for it and say, "Oh, no, I was," whatever it may be, but not Mrs. Shane, just looks vacant and says, "Oh, I dare say." What can you do with a lady like that? Mr. Gobi shook his head severely at the radiator. "Nothing," said Hercule Poirot with feeling. "Do I not have cause to know it? Never shall I forget the killing of Lord Edgware. I was nearly defeated, yes, I, Hercule Poirot, by the extremely simple cunning of a vacant brain. The very simple-minded have often the genius to commit an uncomplicated crime and then leave it alone. Let us hope that our murderer, if there is a murderer in this affair, is intelligent and superior and thoroughly pleased with himself and unable to resist painting the lily. Enfin. But continue." Once more Mr. Gobi applied himself to his little book. Mr. and Mrs. Banks, who said they were at home all day, she wasn't anyway, went round to the garage, got out her car, and drove off in it about 1 o'clock, destination unknown. Back about 5, can't tell about mileage, because she's had it out every day since, and it's been nobody's business to check. As to Mr. Banks, we've dug up something curious. To begin with, I'll mention that on the day in question, we don't know what he did. He didn't go to work. Seems he'd already asked for a couple of days off on account of the funeral, and since then he's chucked his job, with no consideration for the firm. Nice, well-established pharmacy it is. They're not too keen on Mr. Banks. Seems he used to get into rather queer, excitable states. Well, as I say, we don't know what he was doing on the day of Mrs. L's death. He didn't go with his wife. It could be that he stopped in their little flat all day. There's no porter there, and nobody knows whether tenants are in or out. But his back history is interesting. Up till about 4 months ago, just before he met his wife, he was in a mental home. Not certified, just what they call a mental breakdown. Seems he made some slip-up in dispensing a medicine. He was working with a Mayfair firm then. The woman recovered, and the firm were all over themselves apologising, and there was no prosecution. After all, these accidental slips do occur. And most decent people are sorry for a poor young chap who's done it, so long as there's no permanent harm done, that is. The firm didn't sack him, but he resigned, said it had shaken his nerve. But afterwards, it seems, he got into a very low state and told the doctor he was obsessed by guilt, that it had all been deliberate. The woman had been overbearing and rude to him. When she came into the shop, had complained that her last prescription had been badly made up, and that he had resented this and had deliberately added a near-lethal dose of some drug or other. He said she had to be punished for daring to speak to me like that, and then wept, and said he was too wicked to live, and a lot of things like that. The medicos have a long word for that sort of thing, guilt complex or something, and don't believe it was deliberate at all, just carelessness, but that he wanted to make it important and serious. "Ça se peut," said Hercule Poirot. "Pardon?"